The NFL stars that want to be in the Olympics are going to get what they want. You see this? It sounds like we are trending toward seeing some of the best players in the National Football League taking part in flag football. A vote, according to ESPN, on whether to allow NFL players to participate in flag football at the 2028 LA Olympics coming up in 3 years is going to pass at today's league meetings in Minneapolis via what Adam Schefter has heard. The resolution needs to be approved by three-quarters of the owners. They need 24 of 32 to sign off on this. The league then needs to negotiate with the Players Association. According to Olympic officials, national governing body, the specifics letting NFL players participate. So here's how this is going to work. There are going to be a bunch of rules that come with the teams allowing players to do it.
Mm-hmm.
But I think, by and large, this is awesome for the NFL.
It's so good.
I didn't think this was actually going to happen because my opinion is that owners aren't going to risk one of their stars, see Ja'Marr Chase, Justin Jefferson, Tyreek Hill, Patrick Mahomes, whoever.
Doing something slightly different, that non-contact or whatever kind of injury. Yeah,
or
it can be scary.
It doesn't even have to be slightly different. It's just a false step in a game that doesn't matter, and now I'm out for the season. I ruptured this. I tore that. Owners are not in the business when they're not making any money off of the player that they're paying tens of millions of dollars to allowing them to risk injury. These guys that are superstars have built into their contracts that they're not supposed to go play basketball or, you know, play pickup, any kind of football, or, you know, whatever right. The activity is. Oh, you're a big surfer? Not anymore. You can't go out there because you can't risk injury. You like to ride your motorcycle? No, you don't. Not until you retire. Not until I'm done paying you. But the way this is going to work is, according to some of the details from Schefter here, the teams will give the players permission for a player to participate in tryouts to make Team USA or whatever team they're going to end up playing for. There would be a limit of one player per NFL team on every national team participating. So let's just say Jaden Daniels was the quarterback for Team USA. Terry McLaurin wouldn't also be in the Olympics. Only one commander can be on any given country's team. Now, if there's a commander who does the thing, and we see this sometimes in the Olympics, where like, my dad is from this country, and mm-hmm. So I happen to also have citizenship, so I can play for Team Israel or whatever.
Team Canada, Team Barbados, whatever, yeah.
Then the commanders could have 4, 5, 6 guys participating for different countries, but only one player per national team participating, which actually I think is good. Because if I'm the Chiefs, I don't want Mahomes, Kelsey, and Isaiah Pacheco making up a third of Team USA.
Right.
Because you want to talk about injury risk, now you're potentially running into a situation where you could lose two guys. And they don't want anything to do with that.
No, it makes sense. But I love the idea that they're willing to sacrifice. I put that in quotation marks. They don't have to do anything. But sacrifice to help continue to grow stuff. I mean, they saw it's in a different place and time. But what that dream team in 92 did for basketball, people should be chasing that. Where it made basketball global. There's no Antetokounmpo. There's no Jokic. There's no Nowitzki. There's no Doncic. There's no, you know, just a constant influx of international superstars without that Genesis moment of the dream team going over there and marketing basketball in a way that it hadn't before, right? Kids are going, oh, that's what the best looks like. Not just the overweight guy that couldn't quite make the NBA that's hitting step backs and probably traveling in my Italian league or the Greek league or whatever. This is different now. So football is already so massive here. And it was, yes. Basketball is big too. But that's the best way to have a world showcase where you have the pads off, you could see everybody's face, and you could see the stars doing incredible things up close and personal as the world watches. That's the way to grow your international market right there.
It certainly is. I think that, you know, we always talk about the 92 team, which you just brought up, and what they did for basketball internationally, and they changed forever the way we view growing sports globally. No doubt about that. But that was also a very different time when you had to do that. Basically, you had to barnstorm, you know, for lack of a better phrase. Like, you're taking on those other countries. The internet didn't exist. Social media didn't exist. There were not highlights of LeBron in every country constantly that you're scrolling on TikTok and Instagram and Snapchat. And so these sports are now way more global than they ever were. They actually, that's what's interesting. They need international competition less. I still think it's a dramatic plus. I reference, more timely, the Olympics this past summer. Or was that last summer? Whenever, you know, Team USA with LeBron and Steph Curry telling people to go to bed after he hit the big shot with Dwayne Wade on the call, courtside, dapping everybody up with Noah Eagle on NBC. That was an amazing, amazing thing for basketball. And Bilal Coulibaly took part, if you remember, and it was as good a showcase globally as I can remember in recent years for any sport, because not only did all the best American players take part, and basketball's corner of the markets on this, I think, but they all cared so damn much.
Yep.
Like, they really wanted to win gold. Hopefully, the NFL can create that, or the Olympics for football can manufacture that. I think it's going to be hard to do. I think because of what you're talking about, 92, the Dream Team, and really, you know, all of the tourneys internationally since, that's not a forced thing. That's not manufactured. That's just real and authentic and normal and legitimate. That Team USA, if you're on that team, you really, really care. I don't think you can fake that. So I hope that the players from the NFL teams that are taking part are as thirsty for a gold medal, because that's what makes that work to me. But I don't think you necessarily even need that anymore, because you don't think the NFL's monstrous in these other countries?
They're doing just fine, yeah.
You know, now everything's digital. You can stream everything online. You can any link you want to a game's available in whatever country you're in, as long as you got the computer and the internet. But it's still going to be really good for football.
No, for sure. And it's, you know, this is one of those, it's bigger than the regular season. And what other opportunity would you have for these world-class elite 1/1,000,000th of 1% athletes to win a gold medal? I mean, you know, you get the stories like Herschel Walker leaving football and then being really good at the bobsled, like pushing the bobsled at the beginning, or, you know, the occasional,
did he compete in the Olympics?
He did, yeah. In the Winter Olympics.
Herschel Walker was a bobsled pusher?
Yeah. Or maybe the slalom. I can't remember which the thing was. But that's they wacky. Discovered this guy that's super big, super strong, super fast, is really good at starting and stopping and pushing the sled at the beginning.
Well, bad comp. But do you realize that almost all of the guys that work on pit crews in NASCAR are former college football players now? And a lot of them played in the NFL, practice squads and stuff. The guys that are jumping over the wall with the tires and carrying the big fuel.
See,
things.
I didn't know that. But yeah, it makes sense.
I mean, it's they now like highlight these guys in some of the telecasts, and you would be stunned. I mean, some of them are names you'd even remember from a couple of years
wow.
in the NFL.
Like, he was a wideout at Pitt.
Exactly.
He was a running back at
same
UAB.
Same kind of deal that you're saying with Herschel Walker, where weird that the guy that runs the crazy 40 time is one of the best athletes ever would be really good at another thing.
Yeah, the super in shape guy that's unbelievably fast and strong would be good at something else. I mean, there are occasional examples of someone that's been able to cross over, but for the most part, football's been left out. It's an American sport. It's ours. We love it so much. But internationally, it's like, in order to have a talent pool, you there's just no way to compete at that same level. Whereas there were basketball leagues, there were basketball teams, there's tennis, there's the sports that the world plays. The world doesn't play football yet. And this is the way eventually maybe to get there to that point where you could have A, the international talent pool, but B, have that kind of showcase to kind of inspire some of the folks around. So it's bigger than that, but it's also a chance for like the Jamar Chases of the world who we're talking about. You were never getting a gold medal otherwise. Now you can. That's really cool. Like, what a bucket list thing to be able to check off.
Stand on a podium, national anthem playing.
Pretty badass.
Put that gold medal, you know, bite on it like they do. A purchase of league-wide insurance policies is going to be available to the teams to provide injury protection for any player injured while participating in the authorized flag football activity that gets related to the Olympics. They'll get a salary cap credit as well for any player that's injured. I found that interesting. So the teams basically are saying, look, if I allow Jamar Chase to go over there and he gets hurt, he can't count against my salary cap.
Right.
Because there is no policy in the NFL like there is in hockey. Remember, we just got through a season where TJ Oshie and Nicholas Backstrom were hurt, and they haven't retired, but they're on something called LTIR, long-term injured reserve, where their money does not penny for penny count against the salary cap. You get massive relief when you put those guys on LTIR. The NFL does not have that. Those injured reserve players' salaries are still working against your cap. But as part of allowing players to do this, as part of this collective bargaining that they're doing, you're going to get cap relief if one of your guys gets hurt. I think that's really smart and really good to do. The expectation that Olympic flag football teams will establish medical staffs, field surfaces are going to have to comply with NFL minimum standards. I think that's a no-brainer and obvious. A schedule that does not unreasonably conflict with NFL players' league and club commitments during the offseason. You know, these are basic things, but the NFL is making sure we're going to do this. They know it's good for them. But we're going to help you with your thing, too. You're going to benefit more than we're going to benefit. We can both be happy, and we both stand to do better because of this. But here's our demands. And it sounds like they're all being met. So it sounds like everyone's going to win, including Team USA, by the way. I have to imagine we would just run shop. I mean, is there any way that in a Olympic flag football tournament where I'll just pick Patrick Mahomes as that quarterback, throwing to Jamar Chase and Justin Jefferson and Cooper Kupp or Puka Nacua or whoever, you know, in a 5-on-5, I don't know what that looks like, 7-on-7, however you do it, that we wouldn't beat Germany or Japan or Canada. I mean, can you imagine?
Unless there's
all-time upset stuff.
Seriously. I mean, unless there's some, you know, because the flag football guys, I don't know if you remember this like weird internet conflict for like an hour and a half.
Yes.
A few weeks
this
ago.
This dude said he was better than Mahomes.
And you're like, no.
The random quarterback.
And you're like, respectfully, you're not. Like in any way at all. But maybe there's something to the flag football is so different that the guys that play it professionally, I put that in quotes, whatever that is, it might be a different animal. I don't know. Maybe. Unless there's somebody's already like doing it a certain way. But to me, give me Mahomes dropping back and Jefferson just pointing up at the sky and just throwing up to him. And then we have a touchdown and then we could go for two and do it again. And maybe Nacua gets a turn and can't stop Jamar Chase on the quick stuff. Or yeah, no, give me seven defensive backs all world just pulling flags quick and proper.
I would think Team USA is favored by dozens of points
should
in every game.
Right?
They have to be. Because the game is different. You know, flag versus pro, tackle versus not, whatever. But I also don't know, roster-wise, like how many you're allowed to have. I would imagine most teams, like just watching the youth level that occasionally is on ESPN2 or ESPN11 or whatever I've bumped into on a Saturday while sitting at a sports bar or something. A lot of times the kids go both ways, right? Like you're the receiver and then you're the DB. So I don't think you would have corners. Or maybe you'd have an ultra-athletic like a...
Like Travis Hunter would be on my team, probably.
Exactly. Yeah, I would think he'd make Team USA. But like maybe Jalen Ramsey actually is just a receiver running routes and then is also a corner.
Mm-hmm.
I'd be curious how you put the team together. You're not going to have a linebacker, wouldn't think. I mean, unless you're able to have specific defensive players. But does that help? He's not tackling. I think you just want the fastest, shiftiest guys. And that's probably going to be skill offensive players or DBs, you know, corners, something like that.
I mean, again, it's a slightly different skill set. So, like, Jahmyr Gibbs should play, for example. Like, he'd be good at everything.
Hell yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, the burst, the ability to kind of wiggle through because he's not that big.
Would Jahmyr Gibbs be good at pulling the flag? That's what I don't know.
You would think, because he's coordinated
just
and fast and quick. But I don't know.
Hopping and sprinting and starting and stopping.
Just beating a guy to a spot, making his feet stop, and then grabbing that flag, right? Like, that's kind of the key to it. But still, the point is, I'm like drooling at the possibilities of these unbelievable, ridiculous athletes, no pads on, and you actually get to see it. Because sometimes football looks, it's like, oh, that's fast and strong. You don't really get the appreciation for it. Now that you give them some space to operate, good heavens, it's going to be ridiculous.
But when you say that, but you haven't watched the Pro Bowl where they're doing the exact same thing. And, you know, they're playing flag football now in the Pro Bowl, and it's all the guys we're talking about. And you haven't watched 1 minute of it, and you make fun of not watching it.
That's true.
Now, it's the Olympics, and it's for a gold medal, and Team USA's on the shirt, so I'm not saying it's not important. But if your point is just to see these guys play flag football is amazing, well, nobody's watching the Pro Bowl.
So you're right about that. I would say my counter is where there's stakes. In other words, it's not the like, I missed you, and we're like laughing and smoking and joking about it. This is our nation versus your nation. Like, so I think there'd be some incentive, but I think your point stands. And I also love the idea of the disparity. In other words, like if Patrick Surtain's going up against Justin Jefferson, that's a good matchup. I'd like to see Justin Jefferson against like Klaus von Hammerschmidt of the German Professional Flag Football League, where I run a 4-5. I'm very excited about my athleticism. Wrong. This one. Look at this special person.